Hello, everyone. Welcome to District Connect, a podcast by HiHub and CC Hub, where we cover a wide range of topics covering the intersection of technology and innovation on the African continent. My name is Mosumola Mari, and I'm the community manager at CC Hub Nigeria. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Yvonne Eweka. She's our Go Vote Projects Manager at the Co-Creation Hub, and she'll be enlightening us on the topic of women in politics, democracy, and civic technology. On today's episode, we'll be exploring the voices, stories, and innovations shaping the future of governance and participation from grassroots movement to the digital empowerment. We're here to amplify the voices of women, you know, women that are driving change in our political landscape. Hi, Yvonne. It's a pleasure to have you join us today.
Hi, Mosu. Nice to have you here, and thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we'll just jump right into the conversation for today. And I'd like for you to introduce yourself, what you do, and the practice that you work for at CC Hub, and what your practice is all about.
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. My name is Yvonne Eweka. I work at the Technology and Society Practice of CC Hub as the project manager for GoVote. At the Tech and Society Practice, we explore the intersection of technology and society and seek to understand how emerging technologies affect the African ecosystem. We work across issues of governance, cybersecurity, digital, and threat intelligence. And we work with people, organizations, individuals, civil society organizations, human rights defenders.
Amazing. That's a whole lot, right? I know we're going to have an amazing time today, and our episode for today is really been very fun, and I'm sure that a lot of our audience would really love the conversation. So just beyond, you know, CC Hub being an innovation hub, you know, we also have different practices in CC Hub, different units that are focused on different things, and then one of them is the tech and society practice, the GoVote in particular. And so that's why we're having our project managers talk us through some of the things that are the impacts that we've been making, you know, in the governance space, you know, in Nigeria and across Africa. So, right, I would like to ask, you know, Nigeria is actually a democratic nation, and citizens don't fully, you know, they don't involve themselves when it comes to things relating to, you know, election participation. How do you think we can promote participatory democracy in Nigeria, especially among young people?
Thank you very much for the question, Mosu. Since Nigerian transition into democratic rule in 1999, there has been a significant progress. We can't deny that. But this progress, we can't really say that we have made enormous progress the way we ought to. However, in a democracy, it is a given that power belongs to the people. Democracy is about the people, about people making informed decisions about who they want, what they want, and government listening to them. Democracy is about active citizenship. It puts citizens at the center of everything that drives governance. But in Nigeria today, we can't say that we have achieved participatory democracy, because we have seen the different electoral circles since 1999, I beg your pardon, that citizens have always struggled to make their voices heard. But if we cast our mind back to the 2023 election, we will say that it's a significant progress from where we used to be as a nation. We have seen more participation in the elections, especially the 2023 elections. We saw a lot of young people come out to register for their PVC. They also turned out to vote on election day, which before now has been a struggle convincing people to actually participate. We are not where we ought to be, but I would say that we are making significant progress. One way we can promote participatory democracy in Nigeria is building active citizenship in people, making people realize the power that they have in a democracy, allowing people to hear their voices, allowing people to mobilize and galvanize for change. Also ensuring that elections are free and fair, because one challenge we have with our democracy today, not just in Nigeria, but across the African landscape, is that people don't believe in the electoral process, because beyond voting, they have this, at the back of their mind that their vote don't count, because most times it goes beyond voting. It's the result that actually counts at the end of the day. So citizens would participate more if they are guaranteed that the elections will be free and fair, their security on election day will be guaranteed, their human right will be protected. These are the tenets of democracy, actually. The rule of law, free and fair elections, which is something that we have always advocated for. For example, during the 2023 election, we had community and grassroots mobilization to just galvanize people, mobilize them, empower them with information that they can use to, empower themselves to be active citizens and participate in election. So for us to promote participatory democracy in Nigeria, the citizens, the government, the stakeholders, the judiciary, the electoral body must be willing to give the people a free and fair election, irrespective of who the winner is going to be. The citizen needs their vote to count by way of making elections transparent at the end of the day. People want to see their vote count. Thank you.
Amazing. This has been very, very, very informative. This will take me to my next question, which is, trust in our electoral system. So like for someone like me, during the 2023 elections, I'm actually someone who do not like to vote because I believe that my vote does not count. Not until when Cooperation Hub, shout out to CC Hub, when they brought in some INEC officials into the office to get us registered for our voters card, that was really, really impressive of Cooperation Hub and the kind of impacts that we're doing and we're making in the innovation ecosystem. There's been a lot of lack of trust in our electoral system. What do you think can be done to ensure election credibility in Nigeria to boost citizens' confidence? And I remember that during the election as well, I was trying to make a call, and then I was being harassed by some police officers, and I was very scared. And I'm like, I don't think I want to vote anymore in Nigeria. Why? Simply because I'm on a call, making a call with my phone. So how do you think, I lost confidence in Nigerian electoral system at that point. And how do you think we can build credibility and build citizens' confidence so that they can all come out and then, perform their civic duties or responsibilities?
Wow, amazing question. And very important that you shared your experience on this space. And I'll say, following up from the 2023 election that was held in Nigeria last year, it is important to know that the issue of credibility lies in the hands of everybody, not just the electoral body alone. We as citizens, we have a role to play in securing our elections and our votes on election day. To ensure credibility of election that boosts citizens' confidence, there is a need for, an intentional collective action from everyone that is involved, whether you are a citizen, whether you're an ad hoc staff on the election day, whether you are a security operative. We all need to be intentional about the change that we want, such that when we see things going wrong, we are able to speak up and stand to say this is not right. For example, if you see somebody buying vote on election day and you don't give in to the person's wish, for example, somebody approaches you to say, oh, I want to buy your vote for me, and you turn the person that, if everybody turns vote buyers down, that's one way of building credibility, because we are now at that point looking beyond the financial gains on election day and looking you know, into the future, to say in the next 4 years, in the next 5 years, what change do I want to see in Nigeria with this, you know, small money that I'm going to collect today, not impact the future that I want. So all stakeholders, whether it's INEC citizens, ADOC staff, the judiciary, everybody has to put, you know, hands on deck to get our elections right in Nigeria. Like I always say, we are not where we used to be compared to when it was military rule, but democracy lies in the hands of the people. You know, the citizen, the office of the citizen is the highest office in the land. Until we begin to hold elected officials accountable, until we begin to hold the electoral body accountable to give us free and fair election, I think we will not make much progress. So for us to do this, there are several things that we need to do beyond just always talking and all that. We need to instill in the young generation this attitude of accountability. For example, during the 2023 election, we saw a large turnout of young people to register for their PVC and also to vote on election day. But not everybody had that patience to say, I want to wait to get my vote counted. Beyond the election violence that happened in some states, I would say that citizens need to get to the place where after voting, they wait behind to get their vote counted. And also, there is needs for collective action as a community. For example, we have a lot of people in the grassroots who come out all the time, especially women, to cast their vote, but they really do not know how significant and how powerful each of their vote is. So there is a need for continuous enlightenment, continuous empowerment for us to build that credibility. And also, going back to the electoral body, we need to have an electoral body that people can bank on, that is transparent, that is not corrupt, because that is one thing that has brought down all the gains so far since 1999 that we got our democracy. We have seen an electoral body that citizens do not necessarily have trust in. So until we move from that place of lack of trust to the place of transparency, where elections are conducted in a free and fair environment, where security is guaranteed for people that are turned out, where ballot boxes are not snatched. We have moved from the era of ballot boxes to even using, you know, the beavers and other for accreditation and voting. We need to move quickly to be able to meet up with the kind of democracy that we want, to be able to have free and fair election in Nigeria. So our electoral reform is very important for us to have credible election. For example, our Electoral Act 2022 is a significant progress in having, you know, an accountable and credible election in Nigeria. But there are some loopholes that, you know, we had discovered during the election, because it was the first time that we are putting the Electoral Act to test. So if we go back and, you know, all those amendments that people have identified that needs to be made, if we put them in place, I think our democracy and our electoral system would, improve greatly. Also, I want to speak about the need for us to have individual candidacy. For example, we need to move from the point where people cannot contest election because they don't belong to a political party who would support them, because maybe they are a minority voice in the party. So I think that's one way of also building, you know, credibility. There's also need for us to not just vote candidate for the sake of political party. We need to get to the place where we are voting because of the credibility and competence of the candidates who are turning out as candidates in elections. I hope I've been able to answer your question. So
You have.
So I would like to just chip in that for us to actually have credibility, it has to start from the grassroots at all levels, from the local government, states, and to the federal. But we have a system today in Nigeria where everybody looks up to the federal government. Until we start paying attention to local government election, I feel that we will not be able to get things right. Until you start holding your local government councillor to account, your ward chairman, and every other person until you start turning up for local government election. Because, for example, most people don't even know when elections are holding in their wards. And, you know, that's a great issue. So if you don't even know when the election held in your ward, how do you even call for credible election? How do you even call for accountability of the officials that have been, you know, have been voted into power? So there is need for a grassroots approach to mobilization, to advocacy, and to citizens' participation. Thank you, Mosu.
Absolutely. This is mind-blowing. You know, when it comes to advocacy, like, a lot of people actually do not know who their local government chairman is. I think it would be nice, you know, to also do a lot of advocacy in that area or in that space, right? There are a couple of people that, you know, they'll be talking, oh, the road is bad, the local government chairman is not, oh, the government is not doing anything about it. But however, chairmen have been, you know, assigned to a particular local government, you know, to handle, to cover a particular senatorial district or area or LGAs. So yeah, advocacy needs to be done in this regard. I think it's from there we'll be able to, this would also involve a lot of participation. And then let's talk about women involvement in politics. From my research, I realized that a lot of women actually vote more, like the percentage of women is higher than that of men when it comes to voting. And then what I realized that these elections, right, this voting does not translate to women representation in elective positions. What do you think is responsible for the inequality?
All right, thank you, Mosu. So just to chip into the last question and your thoughts about local government. So for us at the Go Vote, the next phase of our campaign and our initiative is going to be looking at the office of the citizen through local government and grassroots engagement. So it's something in the pipeline that we are working on at Go Vote. So thank you for saying that. I just thought I should reiterate for our listeners to know. So look out for Go Vote in your community in a few months to come. So, yes, thank you very much. Interesting question. Women constitute about half or even more than half of the voting population in Nigeria and even across the world. Yet the strength in that number is not being annexed, or it doesn't translate to women's representation in political offices. For example, in the National Assembly that we currently have, the 10th Assembly, we only have 17 women who were elected into the National House of Assembly, you know, out of 469 elected officials. Just work at the percentage. Do you understand? Just 17 women out of 469 members of the 10th Assembly are just women. And to make matters worse, out of these 17, none of these 17 was even, you know, elected as a principal officer. Principal officers are the speakers, the clerk, and all the principal officers of the two chambers, that's of representative and the National Assembly. So it's a big struggle, but power lies in our hands as citizens to actually make the change that we want, from the grassroots to the state to the federal level. Women, you know, candidacy have suffered a lot of inequalities for diverse reasons that are not far-fetched from us. For example, the women's economic power is very low compared to that of the men. And during elections, when women come out for political offices, they are always constrained with, they always face financial constraints in terms of the high cost of nomination forms, the high cost to run campaign, lack of integration of gender into the governance system or even the political parties in the first place. So I believe that one way that we can reduce these inequalities is to, first of all, have a democracy that even pays attention to gender. As a country, we need to pay attention to gender such that everybody is carried along in the political process. I also believe that there should be a quota system for women, beyond women coming out to vote, because what we see at the grassroots level is women being mobilized during campaign, being given things that wouldn't last the test of time, such as, let me use the vernacular, wrapper, quarter bag of rice, salt, Maggi, things that are very, very fickle things that doesn't even make a lot of sense at the end of the day. And because most of these women are the grassroots and not well empowered with the information and not so literate, they are being used as a tool to undermine our democracy in a way, if I may put it that way. Because you will see that, like you mentioned before, women had the majority, and women turn out more to vote than even the men folks. But when it translates to women representation, we don't see it. You will even see a woman coming out to contest for a position, but a fellow woman would not support for several reasons, of which number one is the financial capacity of the woman, because people are concerned about their immediate gain rather than looking at the future and the change that they want. Even at their very small locality community, they are clamoring for change, but they do not understand that that change begins with them. So we need to get to a place where women start supporting women, not just because of the power in their numbers, but because of the gender gap needs to be closed. There are women who are competent, there are women who are credible, whose voice are, you know, continuously being undermined because of their minority in the group. For example, majority of these women that come out to vote don't even belong to a political party. So how do you even begin when you don't belong to a political party? How do you get to know that you can contest for an election and even support a woman to be a candidate? So it's a huge, it's not just a Nigerian issue. It's something that is global, but I think it's more predominant here in our continent, in Africa, where there is a huge and a very wide gap between women representation in politics and men representation in politics. For example, in Nigeria, we have a national gender policy which demanded for 35% affirmative action for women to be involved in the governance process. But as I speak to you, Mosumola, that policy is not being implemented. In fact, we have seen a decline for women participation in this 2023 election compared to, you know, when we got our democracy in 1999. If you look at the trajectory, you will see that women representation, women in political position, have drastically reduced, and it's something of concern that we should look at. So I feel like one way to begin is for the government to pay attention to the promise they have made about the affirmative action, to actually put it to test, start implementing it, give women their quota, let women's voices be heard. When women are in political party, give them the chance to shine. Don't say, oh, you're a woman, step aside, let's give the ticket to a man. Also, we know that in some political parties today, they sort of reduced the cost of nomination form for women. But I don't think that is a way to go. You can reduce nomination form for a woman, and yet you don't give the woman the chance to even get to the primaries. So beyond reducing cost of nomination form, I think every woman that is going to vie for a political appointment or a political position should be given equal opportunity as the man to sell herself to the people, to get the people vote, rather than using consensus to push women to the background. So there's a need for continuous strengthening of women to believe in themselves, to believe that they have the power, to believe that they mean a lot, and they are actually the backbone of communities. Without a woman in a community, there will not be stability. That's just the truth. Women contribute significantly to the economy of every community, whether at the grassroots or the national level. And we lose a lot of money when we don't get women involved in the governance process, actually. So I think I would like to stop year, but also mention that all over the continent, even in Nigeria, we have had women who have been a pillar to the governance system, who have been a pillar to the development of Nigeria and Africa. We have the woman in the WTO that we all know, our own Okonjo-Iweala. She's doing amazing work. Before she got to the WTO, she was here in Nigeria doing amazing work. And that sort of put her in the spotlight to be able to get that position. So women have the capacity, women have the ability if they are given the chances to shine. Dora Akinyele of Blessed Memory is another woman that we can mention. Ellen Johnson of Liberia is another woman that we can mention. So it is time for us to make the significant change that we want to allow women voices to be heard. I'm looking forward to a Nigeria where women becoming governors in their state won't be a big deal. And I believe that in the near future, that is going to happen. But it begins with us making that deliberate move to support women in politics. Thank you, Musa.
Thank you, Yvonne. This has been very insightful. There's a popular quote that I love so much. And this quote is by Joyce Banda. And it says that when you empower a woman, you empower a nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how can we build a gender responsive democracy, not just in Nigeria, but around the continent?
Thank you very much. Such a good question as a follow-up. For Nigeria, I think one way to begin is implementing the 35% affirmative action. That's a good place to begin. It's a national policy that is already in place. Let's see it put to test. Let's see more women get to the table. I think that's one way to build a gender-responsive democracy. And also, in our policy makings, we need to put strategies in place that are effective, that support women involvement in the governance process. When we are designing policies, we need to have the gender, in the back of our mind. Let's be conscious of the fact that it's not just about, they say it's a men's world, but we are in a democracy. And I want to believe that all over the world, the role of the woman is always very significant, and also in governance. Women have the capacity, they have the competence. So I think for putting strategies in place in government, gender should be considered. I think that's one way to begin. Because if you continuously think about what is going on in the African ecosystem, I would want to believe, this is actually my opinion, I want to believe that most times when decisions are made, gender is not actually put to test. So they just make a one-way traffic kind of decision, not considering that, oh, how would this impact the women? How would we do things separately, differently? Pardon me. How would we do this differently to be able to achieve this result? Yes, we have been achieving XYZ result is not working. How can we get women on board to also listen to their own opinion? Their idea is to move, our development forward. So there is need to design effective strategies that get women involved in policies. And also, we need to abolish structures that undermine our democracies and that are very undemocratic. If we are a democratic nation, we should embrace democratic principles that strengthen the participation of citizens, whether you are a male, whether you are a female, your voice and your human rights should be protected. You should be given opportunity to participate in an election. You should have free and fair election when you come out. You should not be intimidated. The rule of law also needs to be upheld, And also there needs to be a mindset shift amongst women. There needs to be a mindset shift amongst women, especially the voting women who necessarily do not belong to a political party. I think one way to begin is for people to start joining political parties, not necessarily women now, everybody, young people, beyond, using social media to hear your voices, get involved, get to join a political party, get to understand what they even do at the political party, get to understand how these decisions are made, these policies are made, because actually that is where you can start influencing decision and speaking for your own demographic. If, for example, if you're a youth in a political party, you can actually contribute during decision making to say, oh no, this is the view of the young people out there, and I think we should do things this way. But if we don't get involved, we can't really influence decisions that are being made. Women need to have a mindset shift to believe that they have the ability, believe in themselves first of all, so that they can sell themselves to their community, sell their competence, sell their credibility to people. And also, I think there is a need for support to be rallied around women who are contesting for political offices. Women need sponsorship. Women need people who believe in them, who would cheer them to you know, keep doing what they are doing, and you know, just believe in them that they can do it. And I believe women can do it. Thank you very much, Mosu.
This has been very enlightening, and I can see the passion in you. So yeah, in my research on the number of countries holding election in 2024, so I found out that numerous nations, right, including 16 in Africa, are scheduled to conduct election in this year, 2024. So regarding the impact of AI on democracy, would you categorize it or characterize it as a gain or a disruption?
Wow, nice question. Artificial intelligence is actually ruling the world, and it's actually the year of democracy for the world. About 64 elections is going to happen around different countries globally, from Namibia to Brazil, the United States, Ghana, Algeria, Congo, DRC, Rwanda, India, and lots more. And we have seen how significant AI has been you know, in enhancing governance. AI has actually, you know, brought a lot of benefits, such as increasing access to information, helping to solve complex issues around information, around infrastructure, and also helping to get things done faster than it used to be. For example, there are some countries that are considering e-elections, and I believe that one day we'll get there as Nigeria. We are already a step, you know, towards it, because BVAS, using the BVAS during the 2020 election is one way that shows that we are embracing the advancement in technology in Nigeria. Yes, to answer your question directly, I want to believe that AI has its gain and also has its disruptions. That I think I hear people say that this year of democracy 2024, with the global elections that are happening, would prove or to put to test if AI can be used to influence election results and all that. So AI has been of huge benefit to a lot of governments, a lot of policy organization, and even just generally, AI has improved the way things are being done, get things done faster, and also help us to save time. But some of the things I think I feel that is a disruption with AI, from my little research and what I've also come to observe, is, for example, if you look at the 2023 election, there was a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and all that micro-targeting of citizens, and all that manipulation of election results is one thing that a lot of people are looking at, that AI can be used to manipulate election results. But we'll just keep monitoring the trend to see how things turn out as the different elections are held across the different our country. So there is no gainsaying that AI has been a huge gain to the world, but at the same time, it could be misused. It can be used to induce voters in different ways: political micro-targeting, misinformation and disinformation. It could be used to manipulate election results. I think the last U.S. election that held between Joe Biden and what is his name now, the ex-president of United States, there was an issue that came up about, you know, manipulation of election results using AI and all that. We are still, AI is still something that a lot of people are still trying to understand. But I want to believe that if we embrace AI in a positive way, it can be a huge gain to democratic process, to governance process. However, we shouldn't forget that there are people who would also misuse it. And the misuse is what we would also be paying attention to as Go Vote and following the research that we'll be participating in with some organizations that are going to be monitoring the elections in 2024, we would like to see, we would like to understand how AI can be used to influence election, you know, or disrupt election. It will be interesting to actually know and understand how this can be done so that it can be mitigated in future election. But above all, I would like to submit that AI has been of a huge benefit to getting things done, helping electoral processes to flow better, especially with civic tech innovation and a lot more access to electoral information, a lot more collaboration between citizens and government such that there is an information flow as a result. And also just using technology, digital tools to sort of drive election information is for me a huge gain. Thank you. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. You went above and beyond. I would like to say a very big thank you to our guest speaker and our fantastic listener for being a part of this episode. We trust you found our discussion as captivating as we did. If you have any thoughts or questions or ideas that you'd like to share, we're eager to hear from you. Please feel free to reach out to reach out to us on Instagram at CC Hub Africa, on Hex at CC Hub Africa, Facebook, Cooperation Hub Nigeria. And then you can also reach out to us on our GoVote social media channels on Instagram, govote.ng, then on X, govote.ng. Thank you so much. You can also leave us a comment wherever you are. Bye. Until next time.